Starts. Ba mine. We're on Chaf Gimel Beis. Ba mine. Rav Bibi Meir Rav Nachman. Rav Bibi asked the question of Rav Nachman. Makam havi simin alo havi simin. If a person can identify an object by means of explaining where it was, location, is that a sign to be able to reclaim it or not? Amletz nitu. He said we learned it in the Mishnah. Matzah chaviyah shayayin v'shal shem v'shal tvu v'shal grogos v'shal zesim. If he finds barrels of wine or oil or grain or dried figs or olives or elu shalom, we can keep it. If you're going to tell me that location is already a sign, then lichros makom, he should be announcing, I found something in this particular place without saying what he found. And let the original owner say, you found a barrel of wine or you found a barrel of oil. And because he can place it correctly, that's already a sign and he could take it back. Rav Zvid answered, Achav Mayaskinan, here, where's that Brisa dealing with? Baraksa de Nahara, with the banks of the river. In other words, in the loading dock. He found a barrel of wine, you know, at the pier, or he found a barrel of oil at the pier. So Amar Rav Mari, my time Amar Rabban Raksa de Nahara lo havi simen. Why wouldn't he be able to say, I found something at the loading dock, and someone else could come and say, I know what you found at the loading dock, you found my barrel of wine at the loading dock. The answer is, Damirle, because we could tell that guy who comes with such a claim, that's not really a sign that you know that you're proving that it's yours. You're guessing. You know there are lots of stuff that are brought out onto the loading dock, and lots of stuff are forgotten there. So you happen to say that it was a barrel of wine. It could really be it was your friend's barrel of wine that was forgotten there. So it's really not a proof that it's your barrel of wine. Ikdami, another version of this discussion. Amrav Mari of Mari said, my time, Amrav Banu Makam Lahavi Simon. Why did the sages say that if a person can identify the location, that's not enough to be a sign to be able to reclaim it? I mean, because we tell him, the same way you were fortunate, or the same way it happened to you, that you forgot an object in this particular place, that also happened to your friend, that he forgot an object, or this object, in this place. It also happened to your friend, that he happened to forget something in that place. Hahu Gavra, there was a man, Da'ashkach Kufra Be Matzarta. He found, I guess, a barrel of pitch in the olive press, where they were making the olive oil. Also, Kamadi Rav, he went to Rav, Amalei, so Rav said, Zil Shkol Nafshach, you can keep it. So he saw that Rav saw that he was scared to do it. He didn't want to take it. He said, you know what? You're so worried. You think maybe it's theft to take it because maybe the original owner can reclaim it by means of location. I don't agree with you. Zil plog lechia brei mine. Go give half of it to Chia, my son. He'll be happy to take it. So apparently Rav holds that location is not a sign at all. And that's why you should have no pangs of conscience in taking something which has no simin, which is in a particular spot. Rabbi Abba said, no, here was something else. Maybe Rav would hold that location is a sign. But here, it clearly had been lost for a long time. And after a long time, we can be sure that the owner knows that he lost it. And since it has no simin, he must have despaired. How do you know that it was there for a long time? The Chazad de Kadchi Bachilfi saw that there were thorns growing in this pitch. So if there are thorns already growing there, it's been there for a long time. It's been neglected for a long time. And that's why Rav said he could take it. All right, going back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah lists a whole list. Eilu Metzias Shelo, these lost objects he can keep. Eilu Metzias Chayav Lahachriz, these are lost objects that he has to announce. So Reb Shimon Elazar said, Kol klei anpuria ein chayav lahachris. Utensils of anpuria, you don't need to look for their original owner. So my anpuria, what does this mean, utensils of anpuria? So Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel explained, And Puria stands for Ein Po Raya. There's no proof here. In other words, Kelim Chadashim, brand new utensils. Shalos of Asan Ha'ayin, where the eye is not used to them. The eye doesn't really recognize them. The eye couldn't know them. What do you mean? Hey, Chidami, what's the case here? Rav Shimon says you don't have to announce certain things. Iyasbusim, and if it's saying that it has a sign, but since it's brand new and the owner doesn't recognize it, you don't need to go look for the owner. Kilos of us and I and my Havi, who cares that it's brand new and the owner is not really used to them? If there's a sign, you should be announcing because he could reclaim it with the sign. Either less boost him, and if it doesn't have a sign, why is it that because it's brand new that you don't return it because the owner hasn't gotten used to it? Kilos of us and I and my Havi, even if it wouldn't be brand new, even if it's after a while, it's older. But the owner can't reclaim it because there's no sign. So why should you be going to return it? What are you looking to return? How's he going to reclaim it? So the Gemara explains now an important principle. La'olam de'les bu'simen. These are new utensils with no sign. And because the owner hasn't spent time with them, you don't need to go look to return it to him. What do you mean? Had he spent time with them, you would be looking to return it to him? Yes. Nafkamina, the difference would be la dure litzur b'mirabanan b'tvius eina, to return it to a Torah scholar merely by recognition. A Torah scholar doesn't need to produce a sign. If a Torah scholar tells us he recognizes this object, it was his object, we give it back to him just based on his recognition. So Shimon Elazar is saying, if it's brand new, he couldn't possibly have known it well, then you wouldn't give it back to him. Kilo Savasanai, and if he would have it for a while and he knows it, then when he comes and he tells us this is mine, Kimlo Begavayu, we trust him. Umajinu, then we give it back to him. Kilo Savasanai, but if it's brand new, he couldn't possibly know it well. Lo Kimlo Begavayu, he can't be certain. He can't be recognizing it. He can't be sure about it. Therefore, we won't give it back, even though he tells us he thinks he recognizes it. And this introduces this important concept. I'm Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Certain Torah scholars are very, very honest. They very rarely lie. So since they never lie, even when they try to identify something merely by their own recognition, we trust them. I'm Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Bahari klas mili avidi rabbanan demeshani b'milai. There are three areas that rabbis, even scholars, will lie, and that doesn't disprove their credibility at all. The Masechta, if somebody asks him, do you know a certain tractate? He says, no, I don't know it. He's being humble. The Puraya, if somebody asks him, were you intimate with your wife last night? He says, I wasn't. Of course, he's allowed to lie about that, because that would be disrespectful to be open and honest about it. Ubishpiza. If somebody asks him about his host, and they say to him, was your host nice to you? Was he welcoming? So it's fine for the Torah scholar to say, no, he wasn't super, super nice. Because if he says he was super, super nice, that's really not a favor to the host, because then everybody's going to try to go to the host. So these are all types of, shading of the truth for the sake of peace, or for the sake of a greater goal. So a Torah scholar who always says the truth, except for these three areas, is very credible. And then if he tells you that this is his object, even though he doesn't have a sign in it, you would trust him. Because you know that he's always saying the truth. And when he recognizes something, it's really his. So that's what Shimon Elazar was talking about. A Torah scholar who never lies. He only lies about these three topics. And then if he would come and say, I know this is my object, you the finder would return it to him. But if it's a brand new object that he couldn't possibly spend a lot of time with, so then you wouldn't return to him, even when he says he knows it, because he doesn't really know it. My nafkamina, what's the difference with that a Torah scholar only lies about these three topics? Amar Marzutra, Marzutra explained that those people only lie about these three topics. You return to them lost objects just merely by their recognition. So, if you know about this person, he wouldn't lie about anything. But in these three things, he lies. Imaginably, you could give him things back when he says he recognizes them. But if he's somebody who lies about other things too, Lo Majina Levi wouldn't give it back to him based on his own recognition.
He's not lying now, he's just mistaken.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
But so, if somebody loses something new, Rabbi, it, usually it, when you buy something new, it's dear to you for the first time. You know, so.
But apparently, a brand new thing that you really, you know, really, it's very clear that he didn't have it for long, then we can say there's no way he could really be recognizing it. So then you don't have to go look for him, for the owner. A story about honesty. Marzucha, the pious one, a silver goblet was stolen to him when he was at the inn. Chazilahu barbe rav, he saw one of the young students. Zumashu yadeh, he washed his hand. V'nagiv beglima the chavre, and he dried it on his friend's cloak. Amri said, hi, nu hi, that's the one who stole it. That's the one who stole it. Why? He doesn't care about other people's money. He's willing to ruin his friend's cloak. He's willing to cause his friend to put dirt on his friend's cloak. So someone who doesn't care about his friend's cloak is probably the guy who stole the goblet from the host. So what do? They coerced a conversion. Kafte, they tied up the friend. They beat him up. Vodi, and then the friend admitted. He said, yeah, I stole it. Tanya went to the Braisa. Moder Reb Shimon Elazar says, if you find brand new utensils, that there's no way the owner could have known what they look like with his recognition. Even if it's a Torah scholar who never lies, telling us it's his because he recognizes it, we wouldn't trust him. We say, you don't recognize it, you don't even have to go look for him, you could keep it. Reb Shimon Elazar would agree, though, but Kalim Chadash Rishashal Vasanayin, if it's new utensils that the person has spent time with, not brand new. Somebody may have spent time with them. If you find these new utensils, chayav lahachriz, you do need to announce it. There's no sign. You know what? There's no sign, but the Torah scholars can reclaim it by recognition. And they had it long enough to be able to recognize it. Elu and kelim chadash v'shlosh avasana'ayin. Here are examples of brand new utensils that there's no way the eye would recognize them yet.
Shirt
is a utensil. So what are examples? Kagon. What are examples of what Rabbi Shimon was talking about? Examples would be badei machtin, things that have needles hanging on them. Tzinoros, these little forks. Machrozo shel kardumos, pegs on which a whole slew of axes are hanging on. So these are all things that may be brand, these are brand new things. So if you find this, you don't have to return it. Kol elu sha'amru, you don't have to look to even return it. Now, kol elu sha'amru, now all these things that we say that you don't even have to look to return because they're brand new and even the Torah scholar couldn't recognize them really. He's making a mistake when he says he recognizes them. When are you allowed to keep it? When you find them individually. One thread of axes. One thing holding a needle. But if you find two of them, then you do need to look for the owner. Because a number is a simon. So now there's a simon already. There are two of them. And the owner can say, I lost two. So then you would give it back to him. My body, what is this thing in it, which has needles hanging in it? Shochi, it's branches of wood with a needle at the top or with a fork at the top. My karle body, why are they called body? Shadav or shatalu be'midi, anything which has something hanging on it, bad karule, is called a bad, as we find here, learning Masechet Sukkah. Ke'edit nan hasam, we have a mission in Masechet Sukkah, bad and arava. Ala echad, bevad echad. One leaf on one stick. So you see that the word stick has something hanging on it, a leaf hanging on it is called a bad. All right, continuing that brisa. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, as the Gemara has explained, said that kelei ein poraya, utensils that don't have any proof about them. In other words, utensils that are brand new, or even the Talmud Chacham couldn't possibly be recognizing them because they're brand new, you don't need to return, you can keep. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Reb Shimon Elazar said another thing which was lenient. He said like this, if you retrieve an item from a lion that's about to destroy it, or from a bear, or from a cheetah, I was listening. Yeah, they said it was a hyena. Umenzuto shel yam, or from the tidal waves. Umishlulisa shel nar, or from a river that was stealing objects. Or amotze besracha, if you find an object in a very public area. Uplatcha gadol, or in a big square where there's a big market. Or kol makom sharab mitzvim shem, you find an object anywhere where there are loads of people. Even with a sign, you can keep it. Because you can be sure that the owner despaired of getting it back. You know, if somebody loses an object in Times Square, he's not thinking he's going to get it back that night. He knows there's so many thousands of people there. They're certainly going to take it, and therefore, he can keep it.
Didn't we have something a few days ago about a very big item? That can't be moved?
Yeah.
In the Times Square?
That's true, yeah. So, first of all, it wasn't Reb Shimon Elazar. It wasn't Reb Shimon Elazar, and apparently, you know, he would, maybe he disagrees, or maybe a big item is different than these items. Iboilu, that a question. He called Reb Shimon Elazar. When did Reb Shimon Elazar say that you can, if you find something in a public place, you can keep it? Because the owner is despaired. We're going to have lots of questions about this. Is it Barov Kananim? A place where it's mostly non-Jews. So since it's a place filled with non-Jews, then the person who lost it despairs because he figures some non-Jew doesn't, non-Jews don't have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, took it and is keeping it, so he gives up on it. Aval Barov Yisrael lo, but if he lost his object, let's say at the front of the Kotel, lots and lots of people, but they're mostly Jews, then he's not despairing. Well, Dilmor, maybe, Avila Barov Yisrael Nami Amar. Even Shimon Elazar says, if you find it in a place where there are lots of Jews, the owner despaired and you can keep it. So that's one question. Next question. If you're going to say Shimon Elazar's rule that if you find an object in a very public place, you can keep it because the owner despaired. And he even meant a place that's public because lots of Jews. So now the question is, Pligi Rabban Nale. Do others disagree with him? Do the sages disagree? Alo Pligi, or do they also agree? Pligi Rabbanan. If you're going to say that the rabbis disagreed, like Nader was implying from that we learned yesterday about a big bundle, Barov Yisrael Vadei Pligi. Okay, so maybe they argue in a place with like lots of Jews. Barov Knanim Pligi. Do they argue with him in a place of lots of non-Jews or low Pligi? Maybe there they don't argue. V'im Tim Salomar Pligi, Afilu Barov Knanim. If you're going to say that they say that even in a place that's public with lots of non-Jews, you can't take it because the owner doesn't despair. Halacha Kemoso. Is halacha like Reb Shimon Elazar that the owner does despair? Or in halacha kemoso, or halacha is not like him that the owner does not despair? And in Tim Salomar halacha kemoso, if you're going to say halacha is like Reb Shimon Elazar, is halacha like him dafka barov kananim? Maybe only in a place which is public with lots of non-Jews. Or afilu barov Yisrael, or maybe halacha is like him even in a place which is public with lots of Jews. So we have five questions. So the Gemara tries to resolve the first question. What is the view of Reb Shimon Elazar himself? Is it only about a place of lots of non-Jews, or even a place of lots of Jews? Tashma, come in here from the following brisa. If a person finds coins in a shul, or in a yeshiva, or any place with lots and lots of people, you can keep it, because the person who lost it certainly despaired, because it's a very public area. Now, who's the Tanu who's told us elsewhere that he's interested if there are lots of people? Reb Shimon Elazar. Reb Shimon Elazar. And he's talking about a base Knesset and a base Medrash. So, Shamin Ma'afil Barov Yisrael. So, that must mean that even in a place of lots of Jews, that's a ready reason for the owner to despair of getting it back. So, Knesset says, no. Maybe, Yachav Ma'askinan, this price is talking about B'mefuzarin, where the coins are scattered. Since the coins are scattered, there's no simon about them. And then even the Chacham agree, because we learned in the Mishnah, Matzah Mos Mefuzarin, if you find scattered coins, you can keep. So one second, even Mefuzar, and if that's the case, I'm talking about scattered coins, so my area, Makam Sharab Mitzuyim Sham, why did it have to stress in the Brayse so that you can keep it because it's a place with lots of people, so the owner despaired. Afilena Rab Mitzuyim Sham, even if it's not a place with lots of people, you could keep scattered coins because they don't have a simon. Eliolam Mitzurin, so must be we're talking about a bundle of coins. There is a simon to it, but you can keep it because there are lots of people. If it's lots of people in a shul, that means that even lots of Jews are reason for the owner to despair. No. Batei Knesios shel Knanim. Batei Knesios doesn't mean a shul. The word Knesset means gathering. A place where lots of non-Jews gather. Not necessarily a shul. So the Gemara says, okay, that might be the definition of Batei Knesios. It could be a place of lots of people of non-Jews because they gather there. But the midrash is ma'ikal ameimar. But how could you explain the word Beit Midrash? A Beit Midrash is obviously a place of lots of Jews. You don't have non-Jews darshaning, explaining psukim. So Gemara says, no. But the midrash is tidan. It is our yeshivot, our batei midrash. But the yatvi bam knanim. But the reason why we know that you can keep the lost coins there, it's not because of the Jews who come to learn. It's because of the guards who are sitting outside to protect the Jews who came to learn. The guards are non-Jews, and those non-Jews are probably going to be taking the lost objects. So therefore, when you find the lost object in the yeshiva, if the yeshiva has a non-Jewish guard, you can keep it, because the owner who lost this bundle of coins gave up of getting it back, because he figures the non-Jew's taking it. So now that we've introduced this idea that the Jews usually hire non-Jews to protect their institutions, so Batei Knesios Nami, when the Braisa speaks about a synagogue, a place of gathering, we don't have to say it's a gathering of the non-Jews where they gather to talk. But no, it could be Didan. It could be our synagogues, the Yatvubu Knanim, where you have non-Jews sitting there to guard it. And the owner of the objects certainly despaired because he figured the non-Jewish guard is taking it for himself.
Rabbi, I think the Gemara now, the laws are a little different now because we have established lost and found places.
Maybe.
Rather than before, there were no established.
Yep.
So if, let's say now we know there's established lost and found, and let's say a Jewish hotel.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to keep it but thinking that the guy didn't despair because you know someone may have returned
it? Then maybe it's different, right? If everybody's using it, then everybody, does the rules. Yeah, could be different. Tashma, let's try to prove again the view of Rav Shimon Elazar from the following Mishnah. Matzaba Aveda, if you find in a city that's mixed, that has a mixed population of Jews and non-Jews, a lost object, Imrov Yisrael, if it's mostly Jews in the place, Chayav Lahachriz, you have to try to look to find the owner. Imrov Knanim, if most of the people in the place are non-Jews, Chayav Lahachriz, you don't have to try to look to find the owner. So now, Matzaba Aveda, Azlina Basaruba, who's the one who told us we have to care about the majority of the people? It's Rav Shimon Elazar and the Braisa. So Sham Minas, you see here that Kikam Rav Shimon Elazar Barov Kanan. When did Rav Shimon Elazar say that if the majority, if there are lots of people, you can keep it when it's lots of people who are non-Jews? Av Barov Yisrael lo, but if it's lots of people who are Jews, you can't keep it. So I said, no. Really, Rav Shimon Elazar holds that even lots of people who are Jews, you could keep it. Hamani Rabbanani, this Brice that distinguished, this Mishnah that distinguishes between Jews or non-Jews, is the Rabbanan. All right, so that will resolve a different one of our questions. Tifshut Mina, let that resolve. To motivate the Rabbanan, the Reb Shimon Elazar, Barov Kananim. That the Rabbanan agreed to Reb Shimon Elazar, that if it's mostly non-Jews in a place, then they also agree that if you find the object, you can keep it. You don't have to go look for the owners, because the owner is despaired. Ella, Senero, we don't want to approve that. Le'olam Shimon Elazar, maybe it is Reb Shimon Elazar. Ha'afila Barov Yisrael Nami, and even if it would be mostly Jews in an area, he would think that the owner is despaired. Ach, over here, but Maya Skinner, what are we dealing with? We have to announce it when it's mostly Jews in the city. Bitum, you didn't really find the lost object. You found an object that was hidden. Somebody dug a hole and put it there. What? He bitumun, if it's a hidden object, my vidit zagabe, what are you doing picking it up? A guy put it there. What are you taking it? It's not lost. If you find a utensil in a garbage dump, Mechusa, if it was covered by garbage, that someone clearly put it there. Lo yigabo, don't touch it. Megula, if it's uncovered, that means it was thrown there, somehow got there. Then no tulum achris, take it and try to look for the owner. Answer the Gemara, Kadam Rav Papa. Oh, we're talking about like what Rav Papa is going to say later on. Ba'ash b'shein asu yili panos. I'm walking by a garbage dump, And normally this garbage dump doesn't get cleared. And I see in this garbage dump someone hid an object. But now, Nimlech Alei Lefanosa, suddenly I see a bulldozer coming. The owner of the garbage dump is clearing away the garbage. I feel bad. This guy who hid this object in the dump is now going to lose his object. So now it becomes a lost object. And now I pick it up. So if most of the people here are Jewish, I have to go look for the owner. If most of the people here are non-Jewish, I don't. So hachanami, so that's what's going on here too. Ba'ash p'shein asuya lipanos. It was a garbage dump that people were not going to clear. And now the owner is planning to clear it. By the same alternative, I can tell you, the olam, that Mishnah really is not Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, it is Rabbanan. It is the Rabbanan. And even so, you can't prove from the Rabbanan that if it's a place of mostly non-Jews, you can keep the lost object. Mi katani hein shalo. Did the Mishnah say that if it's mostly non-Jews, you could keep it? It says you don't have to go look for the original owner. So, you don't have to look for the original owner. Because since it's mostly non-Jews, you don't have to be trying to return an object to the non-Jews. It's no obligation to return the objects to the non-Jews. And it's probably a non-Jewish object. On the other hand, you can't keep it. Because maybe it is a Jewish object. And maybe even in a place where there are lots of non-Jews around, people do not despair. Just wait with it till Eliyahu HaNavi comes. just to read this again, Mi Katani, does it say Hein Shaloh, he can keep it? And Ochayev LaHachris Katani, all it's saying is that he doesn't need to go look for the original owner, but he can't take it for himself. Yaniach, he should leave it in his home. Yesi Yisrael, it's his object with a sign. So let Jews come. He doesn't have to look for them, but let them come. And if they have a simin, they can, in fact, retrieve it. So we haven't proven anything yet. We don't know what the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar really is. We don't know what the opinion of the Rabbanan is. And we don't know who Halacha is like. Tashma, come in here, Damar Avasi. Avasi said, if you find a barrel of wine in a city of mostly non-Jews, you can keep it, because you know that since it's mostly non-Jews, the owner despaired of getting it back. But you can't drink the wine, because maybe it's a non-Jew's wine, and it may not be kosher. But you still have an asin basimin. If a Jew comes and he tells you, this barrel of wine that you have, it's mine, because it has, you know, on the back, this X that I made there. So now it's certainly a Jew's wine. So muteres b'shtia lemotza. So then the one who found it knows that it's a Jew's, and he can drink it, and he doesn't have to return it to the guy who gives him the simen, because since it's a place of mostly non-Jews, he can be sure that the Jewish owner despaired of getting it back, figuring that a non-Jew would find it and take it. Therefore, it's after you, she's allowed to take it. Now, Kiman, who's this following? This must be Kirib Shimon ben Elazar. It's Rav Shimon ben Elazar who says that once you have a certain large amount of people, the owner despairs of getting it back. So Shemam ben Akikam Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Knan. You see that when Rav Shimon ben Elazar says halacha, in a place where there's lots of people or lots of non-Jews, so then the owner despairs because he figures they're going to take it. Avo Barov Yisrael, but lots of Jews not, because he figures they're going to return it to me. So the Gemara says, no. Liolam Eim Elochar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Filo Barov Yisrael, Nami Kamer. Maybe Rav Shimon Elazar would say as halach, even when mostly the lots of people there are lots of Jews. For Rav Asi, Rav Asi holds that only with non-Jews would this halacha be so. He disagrees about the case of mostly Jews. So the Gemara asks, going back to Rav Asi's law, a guy finds a barrel of wine in a place of lots of non-Jews. He's allowed to keep it in terms of the monetary issues, because he can be sure that even if it was Jewish, the Jewish owner despaired. And if it was non-Jewish barrel, you don't have to return a non-Jewish barrel. So he can keep it in terms of the monetary issues. But in terms of kashrus, he can't drink it, because maybe it's a non-Jew's wine, and non-Jew's wine is treif. So 1 second. So what does he gain by keeping it when you say he can keep it if he can't drink it? Amravashi lekankana. He can use the barrel. He can get benefit from the barrel. Couldn't sell it. But he could get benefit from the barrel. He could pour out the wine. He could use the barrel to store other things.
Why couldn't he sell it? I mean, it
You can't get any benefit from it. This is different because wine of the non-Jews, you can't even get benefit from. They may have used it for idol worship. Can't get any benefit from idol worship.
Is that the same case today?
Today, it's not so much that we are worried about idol worship, we're worried about a decree that the sages said that you can't drink any wine of the non-Jews.
But can you sell non-kosher wine then?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Nothing that means question.
But here we're talking about because they were worried that they may have used it for idol worship.
So today we can because we know.
Yeah, it wasn't used for idol worship. It's something else. It's Stam Yena.
I'm sorry.
Nowadays it's something else. It's not Yayin Nesach, wine that was poured for the idol. It's Stam Yena. It's their wine, the wine of the non-Jews that we can't drink.
So we can deal
it. Yeah,
it,
can deal.
We don't drink it,
That's right. We can't drink it.
Can you
knowingly
send to a Jew?
No. The Lifnei Iver, Lositim However, there was a man, the Ashkach Arba Zuzi, the Tzairi Bestina. He found four zoos tied in a sheet. So there's a simon here. The Shadu Benahar Biran, but they were thrown into this river, Nahar Biran. So he went to Rabbi Yehuda. What should I do with it? He said, go look for the owner to try to return it. So one second, go look for the owner. Hazut Shoyamu, he's finding something on the bottom of the ocean. It was lost. It was in Nahar Biran. You can keep it. No, shiny Nahar Biran. Nahar Biran is different than the bottom of the ocean. Even the Misk, it's a place with lots of stones in it, lots of barriers. And so therefore, Lomi Yayish, even someone who loses something in Nahar Biran is not despairing, oh, it's going to be lost down the river. He figures it's going to be stopped by one of these dams, and therefore, you have to go look for the owner. One second, ask the Gemara. Varuba Kananim Ninu. Nahar Biran is a place of lots of non-Jews, mostly non-Jews. So Shemayim Ina Alach Krib Shem Ben Elazar Filu Barov Kananim. So you see that Alach is not like Krib Shem Ben Elazar. Even in a place of mostly non-Jews, we don't say the owner despaired. Rather, we say he still has it. Once there was a simon, he doesn't despair. You have to go look for him. No, Shani Nahar Biran. Even though Nahar Biran was a place of mostly non-Jews, really it was a place of mostly Jews. The Yisrael Sachriluhu. Because it's the Jews who put in all these barriers. The Yisrael Kariluhu, and the Jews are the ones who clean it out. And came in the Yisrael Sachriluhu, since the Jews are the, you know, it's like the Jews who control the port. So since it's mostly Jews directly on the river, Amor, so a person has to feel me Yisrael Nafel. Maybe this bundle of coins fell from a Jew. And came in the Yisrael Kariluhu, and since it's Jews who are cleaning out the river, Lomiyayish, the guy doesn't give up because he figures that it's a Jew's going to find it, the Jew's going to return it. Therefore, if you found it, you also need to look to return it. Another story. Rav Yehuda v'shakel v'azel b'asir demar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was once walking after our master Shmuel, b'shukah de Beidaisa, in the cereal market, in the place where they're selling all the different types of cereals. Lots of people are there. Amar leish, Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, matzakan arniki, what happens if you'd find here a wallet? Now, a wallet clearly has a sign. But if you find it here, Mahu, what would be the law? Would we say that the owner despairs? Amalei said, no. Arelu shalo, yes, the owner would despair. You could keep the wallet. Then he asked him, but yourself and us of a simin Mahu. What happens if after you pick up this wallet, a Jew comes and says it was mine and this is the sign? Amalei chayav lahasu, you have to give it back. Amalei, he said, what do you mean you have to give it back? He just said you could keep it. So he explained, when I told you you have to give it back, it's lifnim ishura sadin, beyond the letter of the law. The letter of the law is that when you can assume that he despaired, you could keep it. But you know it's his, right? As Baruch was saying the other day, you know it's his. So therefore, he's giving a sign. Therefore, you should give it back as the moral thing, the right thing to do. Kiha, like the story of Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel. Ashkechan Achamri ben Midbara, he found donkeys in the desert. And he gave them back to the master. And even though he found them, Levasa Tracer Yacher Shasa, they had been lost for 12 months. 12 months these donkeys had been wandering around in the desert. And even so, he gave them back to the master. Obviously, the master had given up after 12 months. It's lifnim mishura sadin. It went beyond the letter of the law. Rava once, Havashak of Azal Basud Rav Nachman, was talking behind Rav Nachman, was following with him, was walking with him. Beshukad Gildai in the market of all the leather makers. Some say it was in the market of the rabbis. Amarle, he said to him, Matzakan Arnaki Mau, if you find a wallet here, it's a public place, could I keep it? Amarle, sure, yeah, you could keep it. What happens if a Jew would come after I pick up the wallet and says, oh, it's mine because of this and this sign, and he has that sign? I'm going to say, you can still keep it. But that guy's screaming. He's saying it's his. He said, I'm sorry, even though he's screaming and he has a sign, you can keep it. Because it's like a guy who's screaming about his house that collapses or about his boat that sinks in the sea. I'm sorry, the money's gone. You can scream all you want. Once you despaired, your money's gone. Now you're screaming you want it back. Too late. Okay, we'll stop here.